Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries radio broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. We are dedicated to raising awareness, educating, and encouraging the body of Christ to minister to those who struggle with homosexuality. We believe restoration is available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and once again, thanks so much for joining me for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. This morning, I would like to turn our attention to a topic that I am titling, How Do We Love Them Like Jesus? In 1985, if someone would have told me that not only would I become a Christian, but also become one of those infamous ex-gays, I would have probably laughed in their face, or at the very least, needed CPR. Today, and really for the past 31 years, I can praise God that in His mysterious ways, He used so many people to reveal a spectacular and loving God to me. The individuals that deeply and genuinely cared for me were also deeply committed Christ followers who challenged my way of thinking and allowed me to learn for myself about the love of Christ for me, then at that time being a man in the throes of a battle with same-sex attraction. Since the church is a reflection of God's creative intent for a relationship with Him, for the one struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction, the church should be a safe haven where he or she can learn and realign his or her identification and relational issues in accordance with the Lord's plan. The Lord speaks to all of us on a very personal level, but He also speaks through His church in ways that are often unique, empowering and liberating to those combating homosexuality. Today, I would term to a large degree what we face in the church, sloppy agape, which unfortunately seems to be a growing trend in the mainstream church today. By sloppy agape, I mean giving grace at the expense of standing on truth. The Gospel of John is clear in its description of Jesus. Jesus was 100% grace, and He was also 100% truth. He never erred on one side or the other. If we are truly to represent Christ's heart and mind, then we must be equally balanced in those two critical areas as well. Honestly, I'm a bit tired of the phrases, but Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. And another phrase, the Bible's prohibition of homosexuality was only meant for that particular time. I'm especially tired of hearing these worldly arguments from those who are or claim to be followers of Christ Jesus. Jesus made it abundantly clear and makes it abundantly clear in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, that He did not come to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill it. He also affirmed God's best for sexual and relational intimacy in Matthew chapter 19, when He spoke of marriage as the only form that has ever been acceptable to God between, once again, one man and one woman for a lifetime. Jesus may not have spoken literally about the issue of homosexuality, but the Bible clearly does in both the Old and the New Testament. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Word of God boldly states, "All Scripture is God-breathed." God is clear about what He is for and about, and what He is also against. And it is clear that the Bible is His written word to His creation. And also, God never ever changes His mind. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us clearly, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, those in the pro-gay camp that are still purposed to promote that the scriptures that we hold so dear that clearly define homosexuality as a sin in God's eyes, there are those in the pro-gay camp that continue to insist that particular verses that prohibit homosexual practice have been mistranslated. On something as important as sexual ethics, are we really to believe that the Bible translators we rely on got it wrong 5 different times and in 2 different testaments, and only on the scriptures regarding homosexuality? Pro-gay apologists and pro-gay theologians do not seem to have any problem with the other scriptures condemning such sins as adultery or child abuse. Equally hard to swallow is the out-of-context argument. The fact is, in Leviticus, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 1 Timothy, homosexuality is mentioned in the context of sexual and immoral behavior. The cultural argument fares no better. In some cases, a scripture may seem culturally bound, but again, 5 times, 5 different scriptures from both testaments addressed to highly different cultures are obviously not culturally bound. One of the goals of His Way Out Ministries is to equip the church. As a very special arm of the body of Christ, it's His Way Out Ministries' goal to serve the rest of the body. However, today more and more, I find myself looking for every church to be a living example of God's grace and truth, so that many struggling with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction, and really all sinners, will come to a place of repentance. But I realize that in order for that longing to become a reality, we as the members of the body of Christ need to continually be reminded of our own desperation prior to coming into a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. We also need to admit that we may be ignorant, either by choice or by honest lack of knowledge, of the issues surrounding homosexuality, such as its root causes and what it's like for Christians who struggle with same-sex attraction and want to experience freedom in Christ. As a body of Christ, it is time we renounce our fear and insecurity in dealing with the issue of homosexuality. The existing reality is that homosexuality and those who deal with it exist in our cities, our churches, and our homes. Homosexuality is not just going to go away. Those struggling must be given the opportunity to choose Christ and change if they desire to do so. This is no time to hold back from sharing the truth in love and sharing it in a spirit of restoration. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. At His Way Out Ministries, we believe men and women impacted by the brokenness of same-sex attraction can be restored through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Our intent is to extend compassionate Christian ministry for such persons. His Way Out Ministry services include care groups, workshops and seminars, educational resources, and biblical discipleship. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please call 661-432-7856 or visit hiswayout.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. Therefore, once again, let's consider, scripturally speaking, what we know about homosexuality. We know, according to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, and also through Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, that we are created beings, and we are created with a very specific intent. We also know, according to Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, that God's divine intent for human sexuality is fulfilled within the covenant of a monogamous and a heterosexual union. We also know from Scripture, according to Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, that we are a fallen race, and the fall has marred every part of our experience, including our sexual preference. Also, according to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, and Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, we know that homosexuality is a manifestation of fallen nature and it violates created intent. As well, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, homosexuals, like all people, are redeemable and change according to God is possible. As Christians, meaning that you and I take the Bible in its entirety or not at all, when the Bible is adamant about any given topic, as faithful followers of Christ, we are also to be adamant. When the Bible is silent, I do believe we can be a bit open-minded. However, when a theory, a notion, or a personal opinion contradicts Scripture, it should be rejected. Now let me transition here just for the next few moments and turn our attention to what I believe is a very, very important question today. How should we, as representatives of Christ Jesus, approach the gay community? Even those with a limited knowledge of the Bible will remember that Jesus was scorned and ridiculed for spending time with what many considered the worst sinners and the most unclean people of his day. However, Jesus was always determined to focus on those who had the deepest need for him. As he said, he was sent not for the healthy, but for the sick, and he had little tolerance for those who failed to see their own brokenness. Clearly, Jesus hung out with sinners. He dined with prostitutes and tax collectors. He interacted with adulterers and harlots. He touched those who were ravaged by socially unacceptable disease. Simply loving them, he listened as much or more than he talked. And his compassion for them and his understanding of their hurt was abundantly clear. If we are to reach the individual struggling with same-sex attraction or the gay community, we must do the same. A very simple scanning of the Gospels offers a good picture of several attitudes and actions that characterize Jesus' way of relating to those who did not know him and who were lost in their sin. Jesus routinely broke religious and cultural boundaries. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. He entered the homes of undesirable people, and he spoke publicly to people the religious leaders ignored. Clearly, Jesus sacrificed tradition and reputation for the sake of the lives he sought to impact. Now, there is a lesson in and of itself. Jesus also began his interaction with sinners by loving them first. In other words, he had a genuine love for them and wanted to get to know them. If we are going to be effective in speaking into an individual's life, we must first establish relationship. Jesus was all about building relationships with sinners. Certainly, Jesus, being Jesus, had quicker relational success than we might have, but his example in getting to know people and letting them see him is vital for our evangelism efforts. Jesus physically touched people. In other words, he wasn't afraid to get a bit dirty. He touched lepers, blind people, and prostitutes. Frankly, I believe physical touch was Jesus' physical manifestation of his love for people. In his day, it was considered unclean to even be in the proximity with such people. His own disciples often tried to keep those people away from him. But Jesus not only didn't avoid those people, he sought them out. And it was his touch that healed them both physically and spiritually. Jesus offered people something better than their sin. He pulled their attention away from their sin and enabled them to consider and focus on what he could give. He told the woman at the well that he had living water, and then he offers her himself. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. How should we, the church, respond to homosexuality? At His Way Out Ministries, we strive to offer a balance of both truth and grace. We believe the mandate of the church is to be God's expression of both His heart and mind towards homosexual people and homosexuality itself. We share. There is a God who loves you, and you can be reconciled to Him. Can we help? Absolutely. Freedom from homosexuality is possible through the unconditional love and grace of Jesus Christ. Find out more at HisWayOut.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. After He saved the adulterous woman from being stoned, He offered her freedom from condemnation. After the harlot anointed His feet, He forgave her sin and saved her for eternity. I hope you will catch this. While Jesus healed many people of their physical ailments, He often indicated that the forgiveness of their sins was the true gift, even more so than the physical healing they so desired. If we are going to reach the gay community, we must offer them something better than their sin. How do you and I love them like Jesus? Jesus' own examples provide us with several practical tools in reaching our gay and lesbian friends, neighbors, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. First, please take this to heart. You have permission to love your gay friends or family members. And frankly, you have more than permission. You have a mandate from the Lord Jesus Himself. Many people have been so confused by the message they've received from the church that they feel guilty for loving someone who is gay. True love is what will draw people to Jesus. And here, I believe, is an equally important question to consider. What does it really truly mean to love them? It means that our souls must break for their hurt, for their pain, for their brokenness, and for the state of their souls. In other words, our motives must be honest and pure. If in our seeking to reach the gay community is to change them for our benefit, we will fail. As Christians, we are called to love them and to show them Jesus. Jesus and the Holy Spirit do the work of cleansing. Also, there are times when gay people, I would be the first to admit, are unlovable. But in all fairness and in truth and fact, sometimes Christians are unlovable as well. But God does not call us to love only those for whom it is easy to love. We're not called to share the gospel with those who are just easy to love. We are called to sacrificial love, to love in the same way Christ loves us. Certainly, there are many times or ideas on how best to evangelize the lost. Frankly, evangelizing the gay community is no different. For me, the bottom line is any goodwill extension of love to the gay community cannot hurt. While Jesus socialized with sinners, there is no evidence that He frequented their dens of iniquity. Personally, I challenge the idea of evangelizing in gay bars as a bad idea. Sometimes Christians worry about getting too close to a homosexual out of fear that the gay person might be attracted to them. While there is a chance of this happening, the chance, I submit, is small and is certainly no reason to avoid gay people. For the person building a relationship with a gay person, the key is to do your best to foster a healthy friendship. You may be the first heterosexual person to pay any attention to them, and it may mess with their emotions and attractions. Do not be afraid to ask questions and to clarify your relationship. Frankly, some will expect you to run away at some point, but I would encourage you, please, to prove them wrong. While it may scare you, and while you may want a speedier fix, we must share Jesus if we are to truly offer homosexuals something better than their sin. The goal of the Christian community for homosexuals should not be heterosexuality. It should be changed lives through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself will deal with their homosexuality. Now let's, for the last few moments, let's consider some practical points the gospel communicates regarding the practice of homosexuality. God designed sexuality as a beautiful part of his creation to unite a husband and wife as they create new life together. Any use of sex outside this created intent is harmful. Therefore, we are not trying to be non-sexual. We are all trying to be sexually responsible. As a result of our rebellion against God, we are tempted to pursue our own ways, doing what seems most natural to us. Homosexuality, not being God's design for our sexuality, leads to sin. It often leads to pain and broken relationships, just like heterosexual sins do as well. God loves people who struggle with homosexuality, just like he loves all other sinners. God offers his grace and forgiveness in Christ to any person who will come to him, regardless of his or her particular sins, including the brokenness of homosexuality or lesbianism. Healing and change are possible for people who struggle with homosexual temptations. In closing this morning, I would like to turn our attention to the relentless buzz, if you will, that continues to circle around one word, tolerance. Where does it say you cannot be tolerant of those while standing up for what you believe? Tolerance does not mean you cannot disagree with others. The Apostle Peter talks about this in the Bible, specifically in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. He says, "If you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak evil against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ." This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. I, like many other men and women, once bought into the notion, once gay, always gay. After exhausting everything this world had to offer and everything that gay seemingly had to offer, I surrendered my life to Christ Jesus on October 5th, 1985, and everything in life changed. Freedom from the gay identity is indeed possible through a genuine, deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I would like to share with you the life-changing message, truth, and power of God's Word, which freed me from homosexuality. For more information, please visit HisWayOut.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. There is the key: gentleness and respect. Sharing what we believe can be accomplished respectfully. If the church will step out and educate believers, equipping them with informative responses to the cultural myths about homosexuality, I believe we will see the tide on this issue turn. Silence simply will not cut it anymore, and frankly, in many respects, it is killing us. Personally, my constant hope and prayer is that all people will realize there isn't a special antidote for ministering to those with same-sex attractions any more than there is one for ministering to those with an unhealthy love for money, food, or heterosexual sin. The same God who sent his son for you sent his son for the homosexual. At His Way Out Ministries, we work every day to get the message out regarding God's grace and to get it out as to as many as will listen. At His Way Out Ministries, we would greatly appreciate your prayers. We continue to offer a variety of services. Biblical discipleship, which is available in person, by phone, or email. We continue to offer a variety of care groups. Encouragement and support is offered for persons desiring freedom from same-sex attraction, as well as for family members, spouses, and friends of those who struggle with the brokenness of same-sex attraction. We continue to offer a variety of workshops and seminars, which are all training sessions for adults and youth, in which we provide biblical truths about homosexuality, we identify the root causes, and we always, always encourage a Christian response. As well, we continue to offer a variety of educational resources through our website, monthly newsletter, Vimeo channel, and booklets. All of the resources at His Way Out Ministries are available to you to help you understand the complexities of homosexuality and the many, many related issues. At His Way Out Ministries, we continue to believe that through a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, any man or woman struggling with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction can find freedom and wholeness. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. I hope that you will join me once again next week, same time, as we turn our attention first and foremost to a loving Savior who continues to tell us today, with Him, all things are possible. Until then, may our Lord richly bless and keep you.
His Way Out is based on our concern regarding the issue of homosexuality, and we seek to minister to those within the church and the community at large with the truth of Scripture, the power of our testimony, and the dialogue of issues. For more information, contact His Way Out Ministries, 1830 Truxton Avenue, Suite 102 in Bakersfield, California, 93301, or find them on the web, hiswayout.com, or call 661-432-7856. And join us again next time for His Way Out with Pastor Philip Lee.